You're listening to Radio Kerry, live from our Killarney studio, in conversation with Uisce Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Hello there, and you're very welcome to the programme. Uisce Fogarty with you as usual until 7 o'clock. And if you'd like to contact the programme now, we'd love to hear from you. The usual numbers are available, of course. You can text us on 083 300 3300, or you can phone Tanya. She's waiting for your call on 066 712 3666. That's 083 300 3300, or Tanya's on 066 712 3666. Well, last week I was in conversation with the people of Tralee ITT. They had just returned from a fascinating journey to the Arctic Circle, where they spend 11 days in the thousands of miles of wide expanse of those snowy covered plains. A great story, fascinating story, and a great response from the listeners from last week. Next week, I'll have as my guest a lady from Limerick whose book entitled Gaelti Cum Wests tells the riveting story of that heroic priest, Father William Casey of Abbeyfield. He is the man depicted on that huge statue standing in the square of the town of Abbeyfield when you go into it. It's a riveting story about the land league conflict of the 19th century. That's next week. Don't miss it, in conversation with me. However, tonight, 25 years ago, Ambrose O'Donovan captained Kerry to that historic Centenary All-Ireland final victory over Dublin. To celebrate that great day, Ambrose, his brothers Mossy, Neely and John, and his sister Kathleen, together joined me in the studio to talk about their life and times. Folks, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you, Uisce.
Kathleen, I suppose ladies first. Isn't that the right? Come here, you made the journey down from Mayo. Thanks for coming. There's much. How long are you living in Mayo now?
5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. Tell me, there's one boy in Australia, we'll be talking to him later on. What was it like in that household with five boys growing up? What was it like, Kathleen?
Absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Talk to us a few memories.
Well, everyone had the same amount. Nobody had anything extra from anybody else.
Yeah.
And they were all just very, very happy times, wonderful neighbours, wonderful mum, wonderful dad. Yeah. They really were never like a mum and dad. They were like a brother and a sister.
Right. Nice, that's nice, yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. And of course, you lost your mum and dad there. They're not both of mum and dad that long, should they not?
No.
Unfortunately, lot of mercy in them. But the house, I suppose, was all football and was all talk and was all sport and was all coming and all going, was it?
It was known as a halfway house.
Yeah.
There was neighbours in every night during the day.
Yeah.
All the neighbours would come in, the boys would bring in their friends, I'd bring in my friends, and mum and dad always had a wonderful welcome for everyone.
Was one of the highlights of your life, your sporting life, when Ambrose captain Kerry 25 years ago, how big was that for the family? It was huge, wasn't it? For the whole district, wasn't it, really?
It was for the whole district, but I think that if it was now, there'd be way more hype.
You're
that time
on,
we
yeah.
didn't understand
yeah.
that much about it.
So on, yeah.
We just kind of took it as natural. He was brilliant. They were all brilliant. And
yeah.
we just kind of, it didn't kind of sink in, I think, until many years after.
Yeah.
It didn't sink in to me until I went to England.
Yeah.
Because he was everyone that you'd meet, kind of, you'd be introduced as, this is a sister of Ambrose O'Donovan.
Great night in Guineaguilla when the cup came home.
Absolutely wonderful.
Wonderful, yeah. John, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Uisce.
Where are you based now?
I'm based in Tullamore.
Is that right?
I'm the one of the boys that never left the place.
That never left the place, yeah. Come here, for you growing up with the lads, was it all football? Was it all work in the fields? Was it work? What was it like?
The hardest thing, I think, was cleaning their stuff.
What was it?
Washing their boots.
You were washing their boots?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah?
Often did it.
Yeah?
Often did it.
Come here, did they pay you though?
Pocket money.
No.
That's the sad part about it.
Yeah?
Only got abuse for it, maybe. Where's my socks? You never put my gloves in. All this kind of stuff.
Did the five of you play with Guineaguilla?
We actually did, yeah.
Did the five of you play at one time?
I think we did.
Four of you played at one time, Ambrose says, yeah. Is that right, yeah?
Yeah. Four.
Yeah, great memories. And of course, we're celebrating the 25 years when Ambrose brought home the Sam Maguire. That was special, wasn't it?
Never forget it.
Yeah.
One of the happiest days of my life.
I'm going to put it, you know, was bringing home the Sam Maguire bigger than bringing home the O'Donoghue Cup for the first time?
It probably was, to be honest.
Only probably. Neely, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Great to have you. Of course, Neely, you have all Ireland medals too, haven't you?
I have. I have a minor, another 21.
Yeah, yeah. What years were those?
75. We won the All-Ireland. We beat Tyrone in the final.
Yeah.
And we beat Mayo in the semi-final the same year.
Yeah.
And 78, I have under 21 men.
Yeah. Where were you playing, Neely, around those?
I was on the Kerry Minors 2 years. I was 74 and 75.
Yeah.
First year I played wing half back, and the second year I partnered Sean Welch at midfield.
Yeah.
And on the 21s, and I played wing half forward.
Yeah. And what, you played with the seniors too, did you?
I played a couple of games with the seniors, never really made the breakthrough, you know what I mean?
Being serious now, why didn't you make it? You were good enough. I remember you well. You were great cutting, and you were very fit, a great footballer. But is it the way you didn't, looking back now?
Looking back now, I suppose I didn't, you know, have the interest it took to make the Kerry senior panel. Like it took a fierce effort to get on the Kerry senior panel. Like, and I suppose I never really put in that real effort.
But still, to win those two medals, they're great memories.
Great memories, great memories.
And you realise now what it would take to win a senior when you watched Ambrose all those years.
Boy, it's an amazing sacrifice, like. It actually is a sacrifice for getting on the county panel, like, because your whole life pattern has changed, like.
Yes.
And you have to be cut out for it, I think.
Yeah. Was it all football at home?
All football.
It was, yeah.
Constant.
Was any other sport, Neely, in the family?
Well, there was. A bit of athletics and,
you
know.
When you say a bit of athletics now, there was more than a bit, I'd say, was there?
Well, you know, the Guinevere Athletic Club was always there at the time. Johnny Mahoney, the Lord of Mercy, was a great man to keep the athletics going.
Yeah.
I won a county relay, senior athletics medal. I was only 16 years of age. And, of course, we had our own soccer team too at one stage.
Yeah. Kathleen, were you going to say something?
Yeah, well, there was one day there was sports in the vocational school in Rathmore.
Yeah.
And it was all different age groups.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing was the high jump. And I think the high jump went up to a massive amount of feet.
Yeah.
And my father had to stop.
Yeah.
He went up to the spectator because Neely had jumped so high.
Yeah.
And there was so much competition going on between the two. He had won a medal in every sport that went on, running, high jump, football.
Yeah.
Bert Dallaire was with him at the football, but it was the vocational schools.
Yeah.
He was a brilliant athlete as well.
Did you play with the vocational schools?
I did, I have an All-Ireland limit with the Kerry vocational schools as well.
And John?
I did, yes.
You played with them too. They're having a big night coming up, I think, Friday night. In Killarney, I think it's next Friday night, the vocational schools. Ambrose, if I could turn to you, congratulations on 25 years ago, I suppose. Looking back at it now, Ambrose, has the time flown? Or?
Well, it has, definitely. It has. To think of 25 years ago, you know, it frightens me in many ways to think that it's 25 years ago. I can still remember things that happened that year as if it happened yesterday or the day before, you know. And that's the thing, it's 25 years on, I suppose. There's a lot of changes. The one thing I found with, and I think I said this before too, I have an old video of that going to Turin Cahill School, Guinevere, and coming off the train. And you know what frightens me is the people that are missing.
Is that right? Yeah.
You know, I'm missing. My mum and dad are missing.
Yeah.
You know, I fellas in Turin Cahill that are gone. Yeah. And I was looking at it, and I suppose it's a time to look back and reminisce, but yeah.
Yeah. But you know, Ambrose, it's a great thing that you, captain in Kerry, you wouldn't have that video. Only for you being captain in Kerry, you wouldn't be looking at those people now.
Oh, that's
so
right.
I mean, there's an awful lot of pluses to it, didn't there?
Oh, there is, of course.
It's very evident, Ambrose, that your mother and father played a huge part in your life. I know by the way you're all talking about them, they were special people.
Oh, they were, without a shadow of a doubt. I suppose the big thing I had in 84 was, you know, Mum and Dad went to the game. My mother wouldn't go to football matches in our time.
Yeah.
You know, she kind of, she was very interested and knew about all the games and how they were going and everything else. But she had things she wouldn't go. She was too nervous to go to games. But she travelled to Dublin in 84.
Yeah.
And we were lucky enough that my wife Mary, her sister's married in Dublin and domiciled in Portmarnock with Don. Yeah. And they went up with Dermot Kerriscard, Rusty, Saul and Bridie. Yeah. And they stayed above in Portmarnock that weekend. Yeah. And it was great. It was very, very special. I mean, we went out in that night, the Sunday night to the Grand Hotel in Malahide. We had a fantastic night, sang a few songs, we had a crack going on. You know, it was a big Kerry win. I suppose given the fact of what had gone before in, we'd say, 82 and 83, it was a big win for Kerry because they'd suffered the five in a row, which was huge for a Kerry supporter.
Yeah.
Then we had got caught above in Parky Keefe, which was my first day on the panel in 83, to Tig Murphy's goal. Winning in 84 was a huge thing for that team. And I mean, I think they deserved it because they were a very, very special team.
And of course, it was ironic that Diarmaid Dunne, who was a cousin of yours, had been captain in the first round against Tipperary. He lost his place for the Munster final in Killarney, and then you were nominated. But there was, if you like, there was two from the one family.
That's
involved,
right.
Involved in the captaincy.
There was. Myself and Diarmaid, we travelled together with the Spillanes to training. I mean, we were very good friends. We still are very, very good friends. But the night Diarmaid broke his wrist, I drove his car up. Yeah. He's driving all green, Renault 18. I drove him up to James, so God rest him, and Lily. And he said, by God, what's he after breaking this time? I couldn't, yeah. I never forget James O's face. But I mean, you know, it was very hard looking Diarmaid, because, yeah. I mean, Diarmaid was a very, very good footballer, and he was very, very close to the team, yeah. at that stage. But I mean, yeah, it was ironic. But I mean, as you say, it was, there are memories to have, I suppose, yeah, for
that's
Diarmaid.
The way football goes.
That's the way football
Massey,
goes.
You're very welcome to the programme. Yeah,
thank you, Richie.
You're very welcome to the programme. Any age group, Massey, who comes first, second or third?
I'm the second oldest. My brother in Australia is the oldest. My yeah. sister's next.
Yeah.
Neely.
Yeah.
And brother John.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that all of you were growing up together and you were all around the same time, and I continue using the same thing, was football always the number one thing? Was working in the farm at home very important? What was the number one priority in your family?
Work was a lot of work during the evenings.
Was your dad a hard taskmaster?
Well, not that hard, like, but
know,
work, jobs had to be done. Had
yeah.
to, and had to be done
For
right.
For instance, what jobs?
The bog now was safe. Yeah. The garden.
Yeah.
Meadow.
Yeah.
Cows.
Yeah.
And then we could go playing football.
Yeah.
Now, we see, I trained the three boys here.
Right.
Well, they were kids, you see.
Yeah.
And we were playing away fine. Then I was playing with Guinevere with the boys, and I was playing and I was being taken off from Paran, so I was driving the three boys and I said, lads, pass the ball, I'll walk home from Killarney this evening. And we see, I had a couple of good years of football after that. But then they got two cars, they bought cars, that's it. Then we just went back to square one again.
By the way, how many O'Donoghue Cup medals have you between you? Could we, quick one? Have anyone in the idea?
Ten.
Yeah. O'Donoghue Cup medals yeah. between you. How many of you, Mas?
Three.
Ambrose?
Three as well.
Three. Ely?
John, I've won.
John, and what about Pat? Has Pat won?
No.
So 4-10 between you. That's good going. I remember well the first O'Donoghue Cup you ever won. I remember I was refereeing the game that day. I put off Joe McCarthy. I think we'd better the second half. And by virtue of the fact that Joe McCarthy was put off, Guineguilla went stone mad.
To this day, you're credited with playing a major role in that first O'Donoghue Cup.
Because I put up to, and I tell you, you got a penalty after, it was very dicey. We're going for a short break, 066-712-3666, or 083-300-3300. If you want to contact the programme, please do. I'm talking to the O'Donovan family from Mersleeve, Rookland, Guineguilla. We'll be back very shortly. And we're coming from the Killarney studio, and Sean Hurley's on sound tonight. We have loads of music and singing and all coming up. Do you know, I could spend 10 hours with these fellas. Stay with us. Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the programme. I'm talking to the O'Donovan family from Sleeve Rookland, Guineguilla. Of course, Ambrose, Captain Kerry, 25 years ago when they won the O'Donoghue Cup. But did you know, Ambrose, that you played 26 championship games for Kerry and that you scored a goal in 6 points? Your last game was against Clare in 1992. You played 19 games at midfield, 5 at centre-back and 1 at full-back. And in the league, you played 58 games and you scored 5-11. And my good friend, the historian Tim Slattery in Tralee, great man for all those stats, he informed me to tell you that. And he wants to send you his best wishes.
Thank you very much.
As does John Barry from Guineguilla, was on to me today. Your great friend John Barry was on, and he's sending your best wishes. By the way, your last game, Ambrose, did you come on as a sub?
That was the infamous day above in Limerick. I came on as a sub.
Okay,
I brought me on the wing for my speed.
Yeah, for your speed.
We were lacking pace in the half hour, and that day I put me in the wing for.
And did you knife through the defence?
I knifed through something, but I don't think it was the defence.
No, so we're going to have a bit of music, of course, because the O'Donovans are well known for their musical talents and Sleeve Rook and all that. And one of my lasting memories of 84 is watching or listening to Ambrose singing Sweet Forget Me Not when he came home with the cup outside the Park Place Hotel, who's now demolished in Killarney. But Neely's daughter Kira is after joining us, and Kira has 4 county championship score medals. She's heading for an All-Ireland hopefully now next year. Kira, what are you going to sing, by the way?
I'm going to sing Is There Any Nosin Cahee, the song I sang this year for score.
So the score. In your own time, Kira, moving towards that year. So.
Thank you.
There's a home by the wide Avonmore that would sweep o'er the broad open sea and wide rivers where the waves wash ashore, whilst bulrushes they wave to the breeze. Where the green ivy clings round the sing on each tree. Oh, me darling, they're tuning their notes. Is there ever any notion, Kay? Like a sick man that longs for the dawn, I do long for the light of her smile. And I pray for my own Colleen Bawn while I'm waiting for her by the stile. Oh, I'd climb all the hills of this land, and I'd swim all the depths of the sea to get one kiss from her lily white hand. Is there ever any notion, Kay? I have toiled so those years of my life, through storm, through sunshine and rain, and I surely would venture my life for to shield her one moment from pain. For she, being my comfort in life, though my comfort and joy she may be, she's my own, she is my promised wife. Is there ever any notion, Kay? Is there ever any notion, Kay?
Well done, well done, young Miss Thank Donovan. You. Well done, Ciara, well done. Lovely Thank stuff you. All together, well done. Of course, Kathleen, did music play a big part in the family growing up? Was it part of your heritage, of course? Did it play a big part in the house?
Always, yeah. There was always sing songs after football matches. And
yeah.
There'd be sing songs when they come in. They used to play a lot of cards. The yeah. neighbours used to come in playing cards. And it always ended up in a sing song.
Yeah.
And maybe a drop of beer, if there was anything in the house. Papa would be going around with his bottle.
Yeah. Yeah.
The house was always full. It was always full of people.
Is that right? Yeah. John, you'd have happy memories of the same thing growing up at home. What was it like? Was it all music, and was it...
It was always a happy house.
Yeah.
Always a happy house. And there was always good stories.
Yeah.
Like Kathleen was saying, there was some good characters in Trinkahead.
Yeah.
And there was always stories told and bits of crack, if you like. There was one time, there's a man, he's gone since, his name was Dindigo. He was known as Dindigo Murphy.
Yeah.
Was one time, a neighbour of his was sitting along, and he was looking for topside. Mick Fleming was looking for topside. So he asked Din for topside, because Din was always boasting that he had the finest land in the area. So Din told Mick, no problem with the topside, you want a lot of topside, I'll drop it to you. So Mick was set his seeds. A week went by, and the lawn came up. And Mick Fleming was sitting on the wall one evening, and Din passed over the road. And Din said, well, no, Mick, didn't I tell you that I had the finest topside in around the place? My God says, Mick, you were right, he said. Look at that lawn coming. But the one thing that Mick never knew, the week before, Din the Gow came home from Knocknagree after a night drinking, went up to the shed, brought down himself and his son Paddy, and put manure on the lawn.
Yeah,
Mick
yeah.
never knew that. And that's how the grass was so grew so fast.
You couldn't trust the Guinea Gwili fellas.
No.
Neely, for the Guinea Gwili itself and the Guinea Gwili club, of course, it has been a huge part of all your lives.
A great part of all life.
I mean, you're all great clubmen. It's really...
With some outstanding memories, you know, down through the years. Game, we'd go there, we'd play, you know, travel around to matches. We'd always go, probably get a 45-seater bus.
Yeah.
And whatever town we'd play in, we'd guarantee we'd stay there for the night. We'd have a big sing song on the crack with...
What's your earliest memory of Guinea Gwili Football Club?
My earliest memory, I suppose I was 15 when I played my first game.
The first senior game.
And it was actually back in Castlelan we were playing. I can't think of the team we were playing. It was actually said we were Division 4 at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Jeremy Catley was centre back. The great B. Kane was full back. Yeah. All those players, like, and they wanted to be part of the team with those players on. You know, it had a special effect in the field.
Jerry McCarthy was a great player.
Outstanding, unreal altogether. And Pat Moynihan also was. I played centre field, Pat Moynihan, for years.
Yeah.
And then Paddy Leary, the Lord of Mercy, so I played midfield with Paddy Leary. And we had some great times, like some brilliant times, some brilliant memories.
Ambrose, you were also 15 when you played your first game. I think somebody told me it was against My Van, above My Van. You were only a young fella.
That's
the
correct.
Club has meant everything to you too, hasn't it?
Of course, yeah. But I was lucky enough that year because I was on the 40. My first game was, I was on the 40 for Guineaguilla, and on the wing was Neely O'Donovan, and on the other wing was Massey O'Donovan. So they were all watching me. So the two boys had a great game that night. So I was only 15 years of age. But I can remember I was marking him, and he won't. I think he's still on My Van. Big Paddy was his name. I'll never forget him. He was a big bald man. He was the biggest man I ever saw in my life. You know, when I went down to the pitch, big, strong, snapping man, obviously a farmer, I'd say. But I remember one ball coming down along the very end of the games, but 5 or 6 minutes gone, this ball came, and Massey came from north. I thought it was my ball. Massey says, leave that alone. So I went for the ball, and the next thing, Paddy went for it as well, and all I heard was, oh, behind my back. Obviously, Massey and Paddy were after having an altercation, but all right. The end of the conversation I was with Massey was, if we lay a finger on that young fella, one of the two of us won't leave here alive tonight, and it won't be me. So it was a great start for me to get in a Guineaville jersey.
Guineaguilla were always a very sticky club. They were always very close. I remember going out there back in the 50s myself when they were after throwing down a ditch to play, and I remember they had some great players. They were always difficult to beat. It was always a very family club, wasn't it? And a very clannish club. It still is today, of
course. Still is, yeah. It still is. But I think every rural club could say the same of themselves, you know. Guineaguilla pride themselves on spirit, community spirit. I mean, it's a one-for-all attitude, and everybody looks after the other body, you know. I remember that time, you know, you had the Murphys, the Teddy Deanies, if you call them over, from the quarter. There was four or five of them on the team. You had the McCarthy's, you had the Minehens, you had Bertie Leary above, Gary Noonan. We were always regarded, of course, in touring Cahill, you see, we were regarded as the crowd above.
Yeah.
And I used to always say that to the Guineaguilla fellas. We broke up a fantastic soccer team under the guidance of Dan Crimmin. Dan was a fantastic soccer manager. No, he knew nothing about soccer, but he was a fantastic manager.
Yes.
But we were playing, we went from, you know, from Division 3 up to Division 1, but we had this band for 1980, and I kept telling the Guineaguilla boys that, well, we had to throw up our soccer team to play, but I mean, that was never in a question with us. I mean, it was always the club were going to come first, the GA club were going to come first. It was in all our blood. But I mean, the club done a lot for us, and I think we respected that. I think every one of us, John would have played for the Kerry Ticks, Neely would have played for Kerry, and I got a chance of Kerry. I mean, you wouldn't have got that only for playing with your club. And that, I mean, youngsters forget that today.
Yeah.
The club is an intricate part of your life when you start off playing football, and your club takes you to where you've got to go.
Massey, you're still deeply involved with the club out there. Anytime I go out, you're minding the gate anyway. You don't be leaving any fella in, any fella. But anyway, I'm staying with the club, and I'm staying with the foundation of the club out there, and staying with the people. Some great men have gone down through the centuries there with the club, and it means everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, it means everything.
What does it mean to you personally?
It's very personal to me, Richard, because I like John. I'm 2 miles from my old home. I'm still living just 2 miles from Turin Cahill, and Guineaguilla, I played for about the most part of 25 or 30 years with the club, A's and B's. Then I started coaching young kids for 15 years, and I'm still involved with the club with parties, you know, functions at the bar. It's a big place, you know, like, it's very, you can be very proud of the club in Guineaguilla because it's properly ran, and you know, it's a fantastic club there.
No, I'm
and
not.
Then we see it's a quarter of a parish as well. People forget that, it's only a third of a parish.
I'm not going to put you in the position of mentioning any one man, but I'm going to mention one man. I mentioned a while ago, John Barry. To me, John Barry would emphasise everything that's great about a rural club and everything that's, because I'm watching him for the last 35, 40 years at meetings, everything like that. Just take him now, just take one particular person, the likes of him now. They are the people that keep the club afloat, aren't they?
Correct, yeah. When I started playing football at 14, Johnny came up to the school, and the late Johnny Mahon, you play with him as well.
Lots of messing,
they came up,
yeah.
And they said there's a trial below for an under-14 team in Guineaguilla. Why don't you come down? Dan Mahon was the principal, and he taught us. So we went down to Saturday, and at the quarry cross, I met a man, and he said, where are you going? We were all cycling, walking. Yeah. So I said, we're going down for a trial. He said, be very careful, he said, of those village bucks, there are very cute men down there.
Because I tell you, he was telling the truth. 0667123666 or 083-300-3300. We have more music. We have two great young musicians waiting to come on the scene, and we have another young lady to sing a song for us. So stay with us on the programme. Yes, indeed. You're very welcome back to the programme. I'm talking to the O'Donovan family from Guinea Gwilla, Ambrose Donovan, Captain Kerry, when they won the All-Ireland, of course, away back in 25 years ago. It isn't that far back now, of course. And he played midfield 15 times in the Championship. And his last, actually, his last ever game was against Kilkenny, Ambrose.
That's right.
Your very last game against Kilkenny.
A cracker.
A cracker, was it?
Oh, a cracker, yeah.
Yeah. What did you lose by?
I put it to you, the first 7 minutes of that game was Anthony Gleeson was outside me. And Anthony won't mind me saying this. I was fullback, Anthony was centre back. We were playing an open draw. It was 1-0. 3 minutes in, it was 2-0. 4 minutes in, it was 2-1. 5 minutes, it was 2-2. And 6 minutes, it was 3-2. And they're all goals, we see.
Yeah.
So I don't myself and Anthony. I was on the biggest man I ever see. Well, I once said the biggest man I ever saw, but he had the biggest feet I ever seen that were like flippers.
Who was that?
Big blondie fellow playing full forward for Kilkenny.
Yeah.
I'd say he was a hurler. He had the same foot size as Christy Heffernan. Got a big one. Christy, don't mind me saying that. But he had a huge pair of feet. But I think it was Anthony. I'm blaming Anthony Neva because the two of us. I think my man got a goal all right, but I think Anthony, the centre forward, was coming through, laying on with 1-2s. But I can tell you one thing. The Innisfail game morning wasn't too chill with the two of us anyway.
That was a league game.
It was an open draw. We were not doing it easy enough.
An open draw. That was your open draw. You forgot about that, yeah. You played 58 league games with Kerry and you scored 5 goals and 11 points. You played at number 14, you played at number... Oh, sorry, you played your first league game against Down as a sub, would that be right?
That's right.
Yeah, Tim Slattery is my author, on the 14th to 12th, 1980. You played at number 10, you played at number 14, you played at number 11, and you played midfield 15 times.
That's right.
Is that right? So you had a great run. Do you know what we're going to do? You have a lovely young daughter. I often heard her singing behind my house there at night. She's just behind my back. You can sing. Amy, you're very welcome to the programme. What are you going to sing for us?
Fields of Gold.
Fields of Gold. Push in there, lady. Nice and easy. Because your mum is listening to you at home now and she'll be giving out to you if you don't sing well. Listen to me. Away with you. In your own time.
You'll remember me when the west winds move among the fields of barley. You can tell the sun in his jealous skies when we walked in fields of gold. So she took her love for to gaze a while among the fields of barley. In his arms she fell as her hair came down among the fields of gold. Will you stay with me? Will you be my love among the fields of barley? You can tell the sun in his jealous sky when we walked in fields of gold. I've never made promises lightly, and there have been some that I've broken. But I swear in the days still left, we will walk in fields of gold. Many years have passed since those summer days among the fields of barley. See the children run as the sun goes down when we walked in fields of gold.
Well, stuff, Amy. That's Ambrose's.
Just like her dad, what else do you expect?
Just like her dad. Well done, Amy. Beautiful stuff altogether. Now, lads, we're going to the fifth member of the family, the fifth member of the boys, because Pat is after getting out of his bed over in Australia. Pat, you're very welcome to the programme.
Oh, thank you very much. Who am I speaking to?
You're talking to Weeshie Fogarty, Pat.
Oh, good day, Weeshie. How are you going?
Nice to talk to you, my friend. We have the whole family here in the studio. We're having a great chat about the old days. Come here. It must be a bit lonely for you to have left Guinea Gwilla and left Sleeve Lucra and left all your wonderful family go out to Australia, Pat.
Oh, well, it was at the time, but I wanted to travel and see a bit of the world, and I still think I made the right decision.
Yeah, happy days growing up in Guinea Gwilla. We were talking to the family here about them. I mean, there must be wonderful memories.
Yeah, there are some great memories. There's some great people there for a start, and I suppose they make it. I think maybe I'm biased, but the best people in the world. Some of the more decent people that I've come across come from that area as I grew up. They were honest, they were hardworking, and they were very decent human beings.
Yeah. We're here tonight, of course, because we're kind of, if you like, just celebrating and remembering Ambrose Captain in Kerry 25 years ago. That was, of course, a very special occasion, a very special time for the family outside of Kerry and everything else, wasn't it?
Well, that's right. It was a great honour to be captain in a bicentennial year, and he did a very good job. I thought he played very well, and I was very proud of him.
Are you the eldest of the family, Pat?
That's correct, yes.
That's correct. What was it like having all those boys and Kathleen growing up underneath you? You all got on together well, they were telling me?
Oh, yeah, we had very good fun. I mean, it was we had great parents, they were great workers, we were never short of anything, and we had a very happy home.
Yeah, well, all the family have said that here tonight, Pat, that you had great parents, and it's very, very evident that there was great love in that house, and your parents meant an awful lot to you. That's a very important thing.
That's correct. They were very open with us and honest with us. We never had to hide anything from them. They were always there for guidance, and they enjoyed life, and they loved dancing and singing and that, and that was sort of what we grew up with in our home. And, I remember that when the Tops of the Parish came out in Guineaguilla, they were very supportive of that as well, you know, and that obviously the money from that went into the Guineaguilla G.
Yeah. Say a few words to your brother there.
I want to thank you for taking the call, number one. We were talking to each other last night, and he informed me that it's 4:30 in Australia, in Sydney. Thanks for taking the call, Pat. It's nice to hear from you. And we're all around the table, I suppose.
It's great to talk to you.
Yeah, please God, someday we'll all be together around the one table again.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Pat, come here. Thank you for talking to us, my friend.
Thanks, Weezy. It was lovely. It was a pleasure. And my regards to all the people in Guineaguilla and Ratmore and Killarney and County Kerry.
Yeah, and by the way, Pat, Jimmy O'Brien wants to know, is it true that you're paying for a drink for the family tonight above after the show?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Pat, thanks very much for taking our call. Looking forward to seeing you when you come home sometime.
Thanks, Weezy. It was a pleasure.
Lovely. Thank you, my friend. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Pat.
Yeah, there we are. No, that's it. Kathleen, before we go for a break, dear, you just wanted to say something to thank somebody, mention the neighbours and things.
I'd like to say hello to everyone in Turin Cahill. And anyone in Mayo that are listening in.
Yeah. Lovely.
Especially Hannah Murray, Bitty Betty, Annie Hellahy, and Kathleen Keefe.
Breed O'Keefe McCallum was on. She says she went to school with all the other Donovans. All the parents were great friends. Charles O'Leary, Guineaguilla, Ellen Godfrey, Kinmare, Kathleen and Sean O'Sullivan, Hedford. Best wishes to the O'Donovan family from Ballydesmond GA Club. Donny O'Leary, Ratmore. That's the great Donny O'Leary. Congratulations to the O'Donovan family, especially Massey, my neighbour, and to Nelly and to Neely. I was a selector in the Kerry Minors when Neely was playing. Mary Crowley, Guineaguilla, best of luck. A gifted family, the whole lot of them, and as nice a people as you'd ever meet, John and Breda Barrett. Richie McAuliffe, Guineaguilla, was on. Richie, my friend, how are you? Another great Guineaguilla man, of course. I hate mentioning names, but John Murphy and all the lads out there. John and Mary Murphy, congratulations, Dan Ambrose. I have a pair of boots he gave me in 83. I found one in the attic last week. But that's okay, Ambrose is well able to kick with one leg. Kick one, were you very accurate with the left leg?
I was accurate with both feet, but they always didn't go where they were supposed to go. I thought I was very accurate, but on the scoreboard, it never showed up.
Best wishes to Ambrose Donovan and all the Donovan family. Michael Mahoney from Ratmore. Congratulations. Well done to the O'Donovans. Well done. I've the cows on hold. What a lovely, simple, honest to God country people. Listen, congratulations to the O'Donovans. Wishy Ambrose scored the goal from midfield of the minor Munster final in 79. Was that the famous holdout to Jersey one?
No, that was the minor one.
Do you know what game was that, the holdout to Jersey to the crowd?
That was when we went up, it was 2-6 to 1-9, was it? That was that was 70, what, no, it was, it was 87.
I come here, they're all at it in England, no?
They're all doing it, they're all copycats.
Ronaldo and the whole lot of them, when they score a goal now, they start doing what Ambrose Donovan did.
But I've a great one with that minor goal. You know, I remember, I suppose I was young at the time, but there was a friend of mine in Guineaguilla, we used to call him Mike the Dodd Sheehan, and it started at 20 yards, And by the time it was about 2 months in, it was about 40 yards out, it was a rocket. And he frightens me with the fact of the goalkeeper for Cork that year was none other than Gerard Cunningham, that famous Cork goalkeeper, hurling goalkeeper. And I'm actually, I'm blamed for he gave you up football and he turned to the hurling because he lifted in
but
that
you
goal.
I am joking. You were probably the first man to catch the jersey, the crest, hold it up and say to everyone around it, that's for the jersey. You were probably the first.
Well, there's a lot of carrying me with pride in that jersey. A lot of fellas wouldn't go that
way. There is, yeah.
I would be more fortunate than the people. I was born on the border, so beating Cork or Scotty Gowen meant
more. Actually, caller, thanks Ambrose for his generous availability of the Sam Maguire Cup to his wife's colleagues in 84. Monty Falvey, Abby Doney, thanks to Ishi for all he's doing for sport and Kerry, and to Ambrose in his contribution over the years. Best wishes. Tide love at Cork. Best wishes to the Ambrose, to Ambrose and all the O'Donovan family. When we come back, Ambrose, we're having two musicians. Who are we having? Who are these two young special fellas we're going to have next?
Well,
they are special, aren't they?
They are indeed. And in fairness, I suppose one of them has a particular title to our family. That's Brian O'Leary. And I think tradition is a great thing. And I mean, he's Johnny Leary's grandson. And Johnny Leary and my father were great friends. I think my father loved nothing better than going down to Dan Connor's pub. And God rest Dan Connor.
And Kieran O'Sullivan is going to play with him. He's wearing the Kerry jersey tonight.
A fair play. I'd love to see young fellas wearing the Kerry jersey this week anyway.
When we come back, the grandson of the great Johnny O'Leary is going to be playing with his great friend Kieran O'Sullivan. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly. 0667123666 or 0833 300 300. Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the final part of the programme. I want to say hello to Neely's son, Ross O'Donovan. He's listening over in New York. Ross, my friend, how are you? Best wishes to the O'Donovans from Dan and Esther O'Connor in Slievrucra. Thank you for that. And the lad's teacher was on, Eileen Fleming, and she sends best wishes to them all. Thank you for that, Eileen. The O'Donovans took part in Tops of the Parish with Tourin Cahill, but Galán always beat them. Somebody text in. Connie Kelly from Boston was on. He's listening over in Boston. He sends all his best wishes to the O'Donovans. Now, so for a special little piece of music, because I said before, Kieran O'Sullivan and Brian O'Leary. Brian, of course, is the grandson of the legendary Johnny O'Leary. They're going to play. What are you going to play, lads?
Jigs.
A few jigs. As the fella said, in your own time, Kieran and John, away. Kieran and Brian, away with you, lads.
Thank you.
done, lads. Well done. Lovely stuff. Well stuff. Kieran and Brian, lads, thanks for coming in anyway, for playing for the O'Donovans. It was very appropriate that we got two young men from Sleeve Local to come in and play with us tonight, and we'll be finishing up shortly. But before we do so, Kathleen, finish up. Listen to me. First of all, thanks for coming down and joining us on Radio Kerry for this little remembrance and a little tribute to Ambrose for 25 years ago. What's your favourite memory now of growing up in Gineagwilla? I'll ask all the boys the same thing. One quick memory.
It's my favourite memory.
Yeah.
The people there and everything about it, and the friendliness and the neighbourliness of it.
John, what about yourself? What's your one memory?
Thurinca Hill School.
Yeah,
and
why?
Mrs. Fleming teaching me.
Is that right?
She was a great teacher.
Was she?
And a lovely girl.
Was she? Lovely stuff, Mrs. Fleming. You're listening out there. You're Neely, a favourite memory by you?
I suppose my favourite memory would be waking up in the morning and watching all the horses and cats go to the creamery. It's a lovely sight altogether. There are a row of them.
Yeah.
And they're going to the creamery every morning. You could spend the whole day watching them, like.
Yeah, yeah. Ambrose, what's your... I'm going to ask you your favourite memory of home and growing up and your favourite football memory, outside of lifting the cup. And Dermot Moriarty is waiting to come in. He's number one up. He's coming in next for his show. So he's keeping an eye on you outside and listening to you.
They're all waiting for Dermot to come on. We won't hold you long, Dermot. I promise you.
What's your favourite memory?
My favourite memory, I suppose, would be going over to the handball alley.
Yeah.
But there was a lovely handball alley at the Blackwater Bridge. Dapper and myself, I suppose, grew up there playing handball together. John Murphy would play with us. I loved the alley there. There was great cracking games of handball there. And, you know, Dennis Murphy was there, Neely Murphy was there, Tim Jolly, I got rest his soul, Timmy Joe, and we lost Bertie's brother as well. Tim Joe would be another great man we used to have met coming up along. But I enjoyed the games of handball. Yeah. Believe it or not, I love going over.
Football memory then, outside of winning the All-Ireland?
The O'Donoghue Hookup.
Yeah. Massey, quick one from you.
Yeah. The stations, we should go into stations when I was young for the grew up, it was lemonade and orange, and that would be my favourite memories.
Lovely. Listen, lads, and Kathleen, I could have stayed talking till the cows come home, but it was lovely to get together. And also, I want to thank Kira and Amy for coming in and singing the songs. Lovely girls, that was absolutely beautiful. It was lovely meeting you. And I want to thank John, of course, and Neely, and Ambrose, and Massey, and of course, John in Australia, and Sean Hurley, who was on sound here in Killarney, and Sinead, who was on sound in Tralee. Dermot Moriarty's coming up next. I'll be back Monday night with a special terrace talk following the Munster final. Ambrose, are Kerry going to win Sunday?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think we are.